Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me is a good friend, Keith Walker. Keith is with Evidence Ministries. Evidenceministries.org is their website, and he is based out of San Antonio, Texas. If you were listening to yesterday's broadcast, I was introducing Keith as one who is an expert in not only the theology and history of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but he also deals with the Watchtower Society, more commonly known as the Jehovah's Witnesses. Both groups tend to go door to door, and you've probably been encountered by either Jehovah's Witnesses or members of the LDS Church. How do we respond to them? And it's funny because we all kind of laugh at the fact that many times, and it's not really all that humorous, but when God, by his providence, sends us someone to our door, we tend to not take advantage of that. But many times, Christians will act like they are not at home. And I've often said, I look at Jehovah's Witnesses or Latter-day Saints coming to my door is like a home delivery of a pizza. I'm not about to turn that away. And I want to take advantage of that. And I hope as a Christian that you would also want to take advantage of that. But the fact is, Keith, a lot of Christians don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. And if we feel apprehensive about something like that, it's human nature to just not do anything at all, rather than perhaps make a fool of ourselves or make what we believe to look foolish because we weren't properly prepared. But we're going to go through what we call the do's and don'ts of sharing our faith. What would be number one on your list?
Well, number one for me is pray. And it seems like such a Sunday school kind of answer, but that's where you got to start. Mm-hmm. I don't just witness to people thinking about what I want to say next. I pray my way through conversations. And oftentimes I'm thinking about, okay, Lord, he's going to go either this way or he's going to go this way. I'm not exactly sure where this conversation is going to go. I'm intently listening. But while I'm doing that, I'm praying, Father, how do I bring this out without offending them? Or how can I make this point because we keep missing each other? I can't understate how important prayer is. Jesus in John chapter 15, he talked about us just being branches on the vine. And if we're not connected to him, then it's fruitless. So I don't see prayer as just something that you do in the morning when you wake up or have your devotions or something that's preceding a meal. I do it throughout the day and throughout my witness opportunities. And sometimes there's almost like a mental stoplight in my mind. Green light, yes, go for it. Red light, don't. And I remember one conversation in particular. This was in Nauvoo during the temple opening there. I think it was 2002. I was talking with this guy, and he was as lost as a goose. And he was realizing that his quote-unquote gospel wasn't good news. And as I'm walking him through, getting him to see his need, I had the clear distinction, red light, don't give him the gospel. And I'm like, Lord, you're kidding me. This is why you died. Why wouldn't we preach the gospel to every creature, like the Bible says? But for that particular instance, and for whatever reason, and I have no idea, it's going to be one of the questions that I'm going to ask when I get there. Why did I get that red light? But the point is, I've got to be obedient. If he tells me red light, it's a red light. If he tells me green light, go for it, regardless of how nervous I may be or how apprehensive, I've got to follow that green light. So prayer, you've got to start with prayer.
I'm always praying that God would give me the discernment to maybe sense something in what they say that might give me an indication of where the soft spots are
right. With
that individual. Because we don't know where these individuals really are. They may be defending their faith like the good little trooper they want to be, the faithful little member. But I have found that there's a lot of Latter-day Saints, especially because that's who I'm normally talking to, where they have some serious doubts about some things. And if I kind of sense that in the conversation that I'm having, I'm probably going to gear my conversation towards those areas and hopefully, for lack of a better word, exploit those weak areas in their thinking. I don't think we can say it enough. We don't know where a lot of these people are in their faith. And sometimes we're apprehensive to say something, but they could have a lot of doubts, and they might be waiting for someone that they feel is safe to talk to,
right,
where they can share some of these things, and therefore give us an opportunity to kind of elaborate based on what we know about the situation and what's bothering them. And who knows, some of those words might stick with them for a while, and to where it finally gets to the point that they realize, as we've often talked about, the proverbial shelf where they put all their doubts tends to break.
Right.
But sharing the gospel oftentimes is very important. But I know what you're talking about, because I had the same experience where I did not feel that the couple that I was talking to, after several minutes of just nothing but mockery towards me as an individual and the gospel, mm-hmm. where when they finally said, "Well, what do you believe?" I felt the same way. I says, "I'm not going to tell you."
Right.
You know, everybody here, there was a crowd there. It was at the Mormon Miracle Pageant. Everybody there in that crowd, they knew where I, if they knew me, they knew I had a message. But these two people, I was not going to say anything. They weren't ready for it. And I know some people probably criticize me for that, but I know what you're saying, though. If the Lord says, nope, this is not the time for these people. They're not ready for this. And you might say, well, Jesus wouldn't have done that. I said, are you kidding me?
Right.
Jesus did it all the time. That's why he talked in parables, so that those might not understand. He purposely talked in parables so they wouldn't understand.
Well, a lot of times when I'm praying, I'm not only listening to what the Lord is saying, I'm listening to what they're saying too. And a lot of times they're going to tell me how to witness to them. They say something and the Lord's like, there it is. There it is. You talk about this, because this is what something that is important to them. This is something that's already on their heart. There's no way I could know that. But by praying my way through that conversation, God makes it clear.
One of the things that we often tell people is it's good to get to know them as a fellow human being. And I know there's been a lot of criticism when it comes to stranger evangelism, that all we seem to care about is the conversion of their soul, which certainly we are. But it doesn't mean that we set aside the fact that these are real humans. So sometimes I like to find out, well, who am I really talking to? Are you the same way?
Absolutely. My wife has coined this term, being aggressively friendly. Mm. And one of the things she wants to do is, okay, you both have the same first name, Elder. No, what is your name? Where are you from? And we try to get to know these people as people, and not just as missionaries, because so many missionaries can be pretty cookie cutter. And if you don't really care about them, then they're going to know that. Mm-hmm. They're going to know that you're just a project for them, and they're just a project for you. And if you don't get to know each other, then that's kind of how it turns out. Is now this is a debate instead of a conversation.
I know after all the years that I've worked with you on the streets of the Mormon Miracle Pageant, we would go back every year. And how many times we would have Latter-day Saints that we talked to maybe the year before or many years before every year, mm-hmm. who would come up to us, say hi, you know, shake our hands. They don't agree with our conclusions. They certainly have their own beliefs on these things, but they know by the presentation and how we handle ourselves and how we share the gospel with them, they saw it as it was strictly theological reasons. It wasn't because we didn't like them as people. And so we've made many friends over many years down in the Manti area talking with these people, even though we admit we don't share the same beliefs. And I think that concern for them as people should include the opportunity to share the gospel with them, mm-hmm. when we have the chance to do that, and to let them know what we think about where they are going in eternity. We were talking about in the first show, the word cult, and they'll ask us, well, do you think we're a cult? And one of the things that I've often found to be very helpful is, instead of saying yes or no, I merely say, why do people say that about you? You tell me, why would somebody say that your church is a cult? And then I sit back and they start giving me all the bullet points that I'm going to use in that conversation, because they'll bring up things like, well, we have extra scripture like the Book of Mormon. Okay, check. That's coming up next. Or they'll say this, or they'll say that. So what they're doing is they're giving me my bullet points for what I'm going to say to that individual, and I don't have to bring up the list. They've done it for me. So sometimes asking them why they think people refer to them in such a way can be very helpful.
I use a lot of humor when I witness to people, especially with the missionaries when they show up at the house. So a lot of times I'll ask them, so what do you want to be when you grow up? And, you know, they laugh at that because they know that I'm not being condescending or mean or anything like that. But at that point, if the word cult comes up, I can honestly say no one's ever asked me if I'm a member of a cult. That's never a thing. Why? Because I don't give the impression that I belong to a cult. Mm-hmm. So if you've got someone who is kind of defensive about that, well, there's a history there. Mm-hmm. There's a history. There's a reason why they want to know those things. But again, by having this personal relationship with them, knowing their names, knowing where they're going to go to college, knowing if they've got a girlfriend back home that's waiting for them, or what they want to do off their mission, knowing those things gives you, in a way, credibility to answer those hard questions when they ask you, because at that point, they already know Keith's not my enemy.
Right.
Keith isn't going to try to crucify me with some argument or whatever. There'd be some times when I make some pretty good points that'll get them to think, but at that point, they already know that there's something else going on than just this theological debate. There's genuine interest.
Yeah. Let me ask you something here, because I'm trying to think right now. It's been quite a while since I've ever asked a missionary this, but do they still carry those little business cards that have their name and their mission and even their home address on it? I remember years ago they did, because some people ask me, well, how do I stay in touch with the missionary? I said, well, you can ask them outright, you know, what's your email address?
Right.
And most are not afraid to give you an email address. That's pretty safe. But I remember years ago, they would have a card, and I would often ask, do you have a card that has your home address? Would it be okay if I send you some things? Because this is, you know, pre-email days. I've been doing this for a little bit.
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah, we didn't have computers when I started doing all this. But now it's email. It's quite simple. And if you want to continue the conversation, just ask the Latter-day Saint that you've come across, would it be okay if we corresponded? Most of the time, I don't think they'd have a problem with that.
Well, they usually don't, because, like, if I'll ask them for a resource, well, who said this particular quote? Can you just email that to me? Give them my email. And a lot of times they still don't have an answer, but at least there's still contact there. And now I have an email address and we can follow up.
Talking with Keith Walker. He's the president of Evidence Ministries. That's evidenceministries.org if you want to check out their website. And tomorrow we're going to continue this thought. What are the do's and don'ts when we share our faith with our LDS friends?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.